You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of May 17th, 2017, and George and I have returned from 40 years in the desert in search of the hardiest durian.
Oh my goodness. Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alborg.
My name is Scott Juster.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net, a site dedicated to the serious but not humorless conversation about video games. It's the same one we've been talking about for a little while.
Oh, yeah.
We are on a journey, a long journey, of exploring Hyrule in The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. If you have been following along, and I hope you have, we last defeated the... I guess it's kind of like the water temple. There was a water elephant.
It was the elephant came from the water.
That's true. So this was in the
Zora.
See, here's the thing. I don't have the Zelda background.
Oh yeah. So don't worry. I'm an encyclopedia of Zelda lore.
When last we fought, we basically went to the shark people place.
Yes.
And we met, I believe her name was Mipha.
Sure.
Who was the shark princess who was totally dead. And actually, oh man, spoiler alert for Zelda, by the way. Totally dead. And poor Link had to figure out, oh man, I got to revive this giant. I think we in the last time we called them like guardians, but they're actually called divine beasts.
Divine beasts.
And so we did that particular divine beast. We announced that our next divine beast would be the camel, I guess. I don't know.
I think at the time you hadn't realized that it was a camel yet.
Yeah, I hadn't even... Yeah. I had merely heard rumors.
Like rumors.
Of a large legend. Beast in the desert.
Yeah.
So this is in the southwest portion of the map. Mm. And so today we're going to talk a little bit more about our experiences with Breath of the Wild, our thoughts on this particular section, as well as some of our miscellaneous adventures.
Yeah.
Because I should say, even though I knew that I needed to get from point A being Shark People Place, to point B being the desert, I took my damn time by first going really far north, climbing up a mountain, skydiving like across. Mm. I did like a bunch of side quests. I found like some weird towns and stuff. Mm. Destroyed a lot of trees.
Why are you destroying trees?
So I found this town that was alongside a coast.
Which town is this?
I have no idea. It was like a small coastal town.
Oh, this is the fishing town.
Yeah, it was like a fishing village in the south.
Heitano, I think.
And this is the one, by the way, that has... God, total side note. Mm. There's a guy who runs like a shitty casino.
Oh, yes, yes.
This is one of the funniest shit in Breath of the Wild, because there's a
You waste your money.
Yeah, there's a character who's literally like, oh, give me 100 and there might be something cool in the chest. Yeah. And you will almost always fail. And the only thing in that chest is money. And so it's literally just a troll. It's just a way to like take your precious rupees.
I mean, it is the essence of what Las Vegas, Nevada is.
That's exactly... And see, the crazy thing is, when I go into a normal video game space, I think, oh, there's some secret to this. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe if I bet enough, he'll give me a ticket. I open the chest. There's like a special helmet.
Yeah.
My other thought was, oh, maybe... Because he says, oh, you have like 10 seconds to open one of the chests in this room. I thought, well, maybe there's a hidden chest somewhere. So I started like throwing bombs and trying to climb up to the rafters.
Trying
like,
to freeze time.
Yeah, like maybe he's trying to... Maybe like gambling is illegal in Hyrule and this is like his way of, you know, doing whatever. It's not, though. It's just a total troll.
Nope.
So I found that village and I realized, hey, this town has a lot of coconut trees. I think it'd be really funny if I chopped every single one of them down. So I just leveled all of the trees and basically made my own mini version of Easter Island.
Oh,
and just sort of laughed it up.
But laughed it up at the expense of the villagers that were like, no, our precious resources. Yeah, and Link was like, bye.
Well, and you know, they're all like, oh, go find like an egg to make me dinner. I'm like, nah, I'm just going to take all of this town's precious coconut resources.
I think there's some sort of respawn timer on the trees, but it might be linked to the blood moon, actually. It might be, because I went to the top of one mountain and found a suspicious looking tree, so I was like, I'm going to chop this tree down.
I really want to see that blood moon montage where the trees are just like...
But then when I came back, the tree had... I think it was the same tree. That's the other thing. I can't be sure it was the same tree, because the fucking world is so big that I kind of forget where I was.
You gotta drop a marker.
I should have, but I completely forgot. Okay, so I guess before we talk about the temple proper, maybe we can just talk a little bit about what we've seen. I mean, I think we should probably just issue a blanket spoiler warning that we're just going to have to talk about details of things that we found, because you can find some pretty crazy stuff.
Yes.
I guess just following your path, you went up north first?
I did, yeah. So basically, so this was the part where I was like, okay, maybe I should put in some effort in trying to find the memories. I don't know if you've done many.
I've done a few. I've done a handful, actually. Probably like five, maybe six.
So at first I thought, I don't really like this idea. There's some story element tied to like taking pictures in the world. This isn't fucking Pokemon Snap. I'm not like a fucking...
if only.
I'm not... oh, that'd be great. I'm not a journalist on the go, right? Like, do your own homework. Why do I have to go find these memories? That being said, though, what happened was I was sort of wandering around and I found like a shrine that looked like it was like a shrine for horses. And I was like, I think I remember seeing this somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
So I brought up, like, the memory thing and confirmed, like, oh, this is one of the memory locations.
Yeah.
And I found the specific point and then sort of relived through that memory, which we could talk about in a bit. Yeah. But that basically triggered a, like, I have to go find memories now sort of urge in me, right?
Because it's not about taking a picture. It's just about finding a place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I think that's where
they don't explain that very well.
No, actually. Not at all. Yeah. Exactly. And so I thought, like, oh, I thought this was some shitty tourist guide thing. Instead, it's actually much more of like, can you find these locations based upon the environment and the scenery?
Yep.
And at that point, it felt like a riddle to me. Yep. And then I was like, oh, this is really cool.
Yep.
So at another point, I was like looking. I knew that I had to be in a place east of a certain location that overlooked a valley that had sort of Ganon's castle in the background. Mm-hmm. Or there was like this, like a cut through a valley with like an arch. Mm. And so I found the location of that shrine, I found the location of that memory, and right there was like a really large mountain. So I decided to climb that mountain.
Mm.
And at the top, I found another like water-based shrine and a fucking huge dragon.
Oh, yeah. Was this dragon. The corrupted one?
Yes.
Yeah. This is good.
That part was so fucking cool. And so then I did that whole quest line.
Yeah.
And that corrupted dragon entire sequence is like a huge highlight for me from Breath of the Wild.
I mean, and it ties, I almost feel like they put that memory out there very specifically to make you find that dragon, because in the memory she was coming back down from that mountain.
That's right.
And so you're like, oh, there's the mountain. She was
saying hi or whatever, right?
And
she was like,
well, and she was
getting
also
support.
And Zelda was also like, well, I went up there and I didn't find and nothing happened. Well, I wonder what was up there.
Yeah,
and so you just start walking up there and some fucking dragon covered in black Ganon tar or whatever.
Yeah. What was so cool about that sequence too,
it was a long ass walk up that mountain, by the way.
It was a very long walk. But my favorite element of that entire fight scene was how vast it was. Like, this is probably the biggest scale of combat I've seen in Breath of the Wild yet, even compared to the shrines and getting into, sorry, not the shrines, the divine beasts and getting into the divine beasts. And this dragon scene, which is rad because you're like shooting it with arrows and then you have to like, I guess, parachute down above it and then drop down and fire bow in slow motion to knock a skate. Like, it felt the most like Shadow of the Colossus.
Yeah.
And I got this feeling as well in the divine beast in the desert.
Yeah.
But it gives me the warm, fuzzy feeling inside whenever you feel like a direct lineage between games, you know, and this is one of the things that's so rewarding about like playing a lot of games is that as we build up our gaming knowledge,
there's a language between them.
Yeah, there's a language between them, right? Yep. And I love the fact that, you know, The Legend of Zelda deeply informed Ico and Shadow of the Colossus, which then deeply informed Breath of the Wild, and it's just all coming back together in this lovely little circle, and we're just eating it up because it's a Breath of the Wild donut.
Yeah, that was a really cool sequence, and it tied one of the specific memories into something very practical, and then that inspires you to do more of them.
Totally.
And
it's also another tragic moment, right? Like, this is a corrupted...
Yeah.
This thing is like kind of beautiful, and in a weird way, going back to Shadow of the Colossus, where you're taking down these large beasts, and there's like sort of tragedy to the combat that you're doing. I sort of got that same feeling sort of doing the combat in the sequence.
There's a sense, and they use subtle music to do this as well, but there's a sense that you're interacting in a game where everything you interact with is somewhat melancholy, because this is basically a post-apocalypse game. In a game where it's already somewhat melancholy, you're dealing with like some being that you can tell is just eons before the fall even happened.
Yeah.
Which is they do a lot with very little explicit narrative.
Yeah.
In the same way that Shadow of the Colossus or Dark Souls does a lot with very little specific narrative.
I also get a sense that there's like, there's almost like a connection between Link and this creature, right? Because the two know what the world was like before Ganon.
Yeah.
And they're both sort of, lives were fucked up because of it.
Yeah.
In a weird way, I kind of wish, and I don't know, maybe this will happen at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever see that movie? Maybe it was Mel Gibson or maybe it was a Robin Williams movie.
But it was a big swing there.
Forever Young. Did you ever see that movie Forever Young?
No, I thought you were going to say Patch Adams.
So there's this... There's this movie called Forever Young where like someone gets trapped in ice, but it's not like Encino Man.
Okay, I was just, damn it.
But like he gets out and he like fought in World War II or whatever, but he's still young.
Okay.
But then at the end of the movie, Captain America ages like super fast.
Oh, Jesus.
So I'm kind of really hoping that...
Link is going to be like...
Exactly. Link is going to go through that process of that dude in Indiana Jones where he just like ages really quickly in front of Princess Zelda.
He chose poorly. Yeah. Yeah, that stuff was really cool. I'm glad that I did that same stuff too because I just happened on it. The mountain stuff to me is super interesting because it feels, I guess maybe the desert felt the same way, but it feels deadly in a way when I'm up there because you can't see a lot.
Yeah,
it's cold. Always cold. Yeah. There's constantly wolves.
Yeah,
there's fucking wolves everywhere.
You hear the wolves and you're just like, fuck these again.
Yeah.
They're almost as bad as the Dark Souls 3 wolves. Not quite.
There are times where you're just, it's just very desolate. It's nice looking, but it's very barren up there. Mm-hmm. And there's a few different mountains in Hyrule.
Yeah.
There's a few different points in time where you can get in a spot where, oh man, I am either low on food or I don't have the right equipment.
Yeah, I'm freezing to death.
Yeah.
And it's colder than even the cold areas.
Yeah.
Like, it's peak cold.
Yeah. And also, depending, it starts to make you think much more carefully about, should I try to explore this? Should I wait till dawn? Because it will be warmer during the day.
That's true, yeah.
And should I equip my fire sword? Because that will help heat me up.
Yeah.
You know, there's just a lot more mechanical considerations to be made.
I remember when climbing the mountain, like desperately looking for a place out of the weather to build a fire.
Yeah.
And it's like it's like a shitty ice overhang and I'm just like trying to survive.
Yeah. I've actually gotten to the point where my gear is good enough that I don't have to worry about food anymore.
About food?
In terms of temperature.
Of like heat and stuff. Yeah, I just switch out the weapons, but then I often get in situations where I either forget, or
you don't want to use it, and then it breaks, and then
I'll find ore, right, and go have to switch, and then I'm like desperately trying to destroy the ore to get my fire weapon back before it freezes to death.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to find a few pieces of gear and also find a few of the fairies.
Yeah,
and I poured a lot of money and ore into upgrading my gear.
I haven't found a single fairy.
What? Really?
Yeah. And also, I've only upgraded gear like once.
Wow. But how'd you upgrade gear if you didn't find a fairy?
Do you need a fairy to upgrade? Oh, you mean the like lake fairy?
Yeah, right?
Okay,
yeah.
I found two of those. I thought you meant legitimately like...
No, like the little...
Yeah.
Yeah, the little fairies usually hang out at the great fairy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you come to a great fairy's pond, you'll see some flying around, but they will fly away.
So literally every time that I've gone to those great fairies, I had just sold all my shit.
Mm.
Like, I had just gotten back from the merchant and been like,
So, okay, so here's a question. What are you saving up for if you're selling all this shit?
What, in terms of money?
Yeah.
Arrows. Dude, I still don't understand how you are like a fucking, like a money baron. So right now, so no joke, I sold like two diamonds, all of my topaz, I sold like a bunch of horns. One of my friends came over, who might be listening, Joey, was like, oh, I make apple pie and then I sell the apple pie.
Yeah.
I tried cooking shit and selling it too. I don't know how to make apple pie. All my food sells for like 30 gold.
Oh yeah. So, if you make dishes or if you have any hearty food and you sell it, that's pretty expensive.
I need to eat my hearty food. So I made all this stuff. I sold a bunch of shit. I had like maybe 3,000 rupees.
Oh, that's enough to buy a house.
Is it?
Yeah, 3,000 rupees and 10 bundles of wood.
It's a buyer's market. Yeah. That's crazy. So I spent that instead on like those clothes I wanted to buy. So I bought like the stealth outfit.
Oh, yeah.
Which was itself like 2,000.
Yeah, there's gold, the stealth outfit. There's, I think there's like another armor in like Haitano Village. Mean, you can find some armor or something.
If you've been listening to this show for a while, this is just like classic me, right? Because I just like fucking, I waste all my money on bullshit.
Outfits, you say.
Yeah, fashion souls again. God.
So have you dyed anything?
You mean colors?
Yeah.
No, how do I do that?
What? Okay, in that same village where you, the same village with the scientists that you first get the memories from, there is a dye shop. And you can bring your clothes to the dye shop and use certain items, whether they're elixir items
like
or
birth and stuff.
Yeah, to depending on what color they are, to dye your clothes different colors. Yeah.
See, that's great because I really love that headscarf, but it's like a red and just it doesn't work for my ensemble.
You ask him. He asks you, okay, well, like, what color do you want? Well, here are some things that you can use to make this color, and you like combine different items or whatever to make them.
As far as I
can tell, it's only cosmetic.
Dude, like, I don't think I talk to people enough.
You should talk to people. You learn lots of things.
Every time I talk to someone, they're like, oh God, help me. I lost my I lost some bread. And
well, at least it
bread.
Just logs the, you know,
it does.
It logs
true.
The quest.
But so literally just like spam through the comments.
Well, half the time those people are saying, man, I heard a weird fairy lives east of here. And so like that's when you learn like where the other things are.
I just want to roam the land on my own. So where is this house I can buy?
It is in that same village.
Okay, so I have to live in that village.
Yes.
It's not a really good village, though. I mean, it's not defensible. It's surrounded by hills.
It's
like
the only village that was relatively untouched by the calamity.
That's true, because it is nestled in that valley.
It's nestled in that valley.
It's like nuclear safe.
Yeah. And it has Impa's sister at the top of the hill who accidentally reversed Benjamin Buttoned herself.
Yeah, reversed Benjamin Button disease.
Or actually, no, just Benjamin Buttoned herself, right? Does Benjamin Button get younger or older? God damn it.
Younger. Reverse Benjamin Button disease is just the thing that
we
suffer from.
I'm a reverse Benjamin Button. that's that village. I bought the house.
Oh, did you?
I bought the house.
Okay, what do you get with this house?
You get, much like in the real world when you buy a house,
a mortgage.
You get a hole that you can throw more money into.
Okay.
So once you buy the house,
it's empty. It's an empty house.
It is empty. It's an empty house.
Okay.
And so once you buy the house, you then talk to the architect and builder, and he says, well, do you want some wall mounts for this house?
No,
and you're like, sure. And he'll be like, cool, that'd be 100 rupees, please. And he will build you wall mounts so you can put shields and swords on them in the house.
Oh, no way.
And you can store, I think it's up to like 4 each maybe, or maybe 3
so
each.
So you're basically building a Skyrim house.
Essentially, yeah.
That's my fucking jam though, right?
He'll
there.
Sell you furniture. He'll sell you lights. He has to sell
disco
you...
Disco lights? Now we're talking Sims.
He has to sell you...
Is there a toilet in the house?
Not that I can tell. I don't think there's a toilet in any Hyrule houses, by the way.
I don't think that's true. I think there are toilets in the sand houses in the sand people village.
I gotta tell you, George, that was a sink.
You're probably right.
I mean, there have been toilets in Zelda before, but only in very specific
locations.
Games. Yeah.
Okay, we're gonna need a greater bathroom theory.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Of the Legend of Zelda.
My
series.
Shit theories.
I mean, to be fair, like, Ganon caused things to be really bad, so he probably destroyed
most of indoor plumbing
systems.
So I purchased the house, I purchased furniture for the house, I purchased a front door, which I didn't originally have.
What? This is, come on!
Doesn't come from
would
the door.
Would you buy a house without a front door?
Like in this market? Hell yeah.
That's true, if it were cheap.
So you can basically pour more
Hold
money
on a
into it.
Why buy a door? I mean, other than aesthetic reasons.
I
will
think
people
that's
steal
much it.
Your shields?
Fuck, I don't know. I mean, I have some pretty nice shields. I don't want them to like go in there and steal them. But even so, I think it's only like 3 or 4 per, and you have to buy each of them individually. So after buying all of your stuff, after buying your house, it's easily a couple thousand more rupees to properly outfit your house.
So are you decked out at this point?
I'm pretty decked out. I think I bought all I can. And now some of the builders have gone up north to do more building, and something bad has happened to them. But I haven't been there yet. The Alcala region, I haven't even been to that region yet.
You should help those builders out, because they might come back and build you a bathroom.
Yeah, maybe I want a second story now or something. I don't know. So I finally ended up buying that house. But now I just have so many materials.
This is kind of funny in real life, because you also are a homeowner and I am not in real life.
Well, if you'd stop selling all your bugs.
I feel like I should be practicing real life in these fucking Zelda games instead of being like, and literally today I bought two jackets. It's summertime.
But it's a buyer's market. It's summer. It's a buyer's market. Yeah, you've been foolish not to buy those jackets. Have you gone to the dye shop to dye those jackets? I'm going to crush up some pink salt to dye it pink.
God.
Yeah, so I did that. What else? Did you meet the shield surfing girl in one of the mountains?
No, waifu material right there.
Yes, this is. She teaches you how to shield surf, and she sets up courses for you to practice.
So I figured out how to shield surf on my own.
Yeah.
It is now my favorite pastime.
It's pretty
great. Shield surfing is great. And even
you go fast.
Too. And shield surfing even on just the plains. Because I think I first started doing it on the dunes.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, wait a second. This works everywhere and is way cooler. And what's especially cool is when you can go over a sweet jump and you have the parachute without dropping your board.
You catch some air.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
There's a woman who's... It's so cool when... it was night. Like, the sun had gone down. And I was getting kind of desperate. And then I see in the distance what looks like a light and some smoke coming out. I was like, what? Someone is living out here in this desolate wasteland? Yeah. And so you're like coming... Like, who the fuck are you?
Yeah, yeah.
She's a retired champion shield surfer.
Fuck, who's moved
up to the mountain.
Cool.
And she teaches you how to shield surf and teaches you about the essence of shield surfing.
Hell yeah, dude.
Yeah, it's pretty fun.
I mean, that is exactly the type of like shitty side quest challenges I'm willing to partake in. Where is this shield surfing maiden?
She's over near
shield surfing grandma.
Near the Rudo village, the bird people.
Where is that?
You know the Gerudo Highlands where it gets icy, like above the desert?
Yes.
It's north of that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So I haven't really been there yet. Yeah. So I gotta explore that area.
So there's a lot more mountains and stuff over there. I made my way over to the, is it Ruto or Rito? Maybe Rito. The bird people live up there, and they have the next divine beast. But then, I guess after that, did you spend more time in the mountains and then just loop back down to the...
Yeah, so I basically looped back down. I went along the coast some more because I found that place. Yeah. Every now and then...
Oh, I did Eventide Island.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What did you think of that?
That was fucking so fun.
So good.
God.
So my understanding is some of the DLC will basically be new versions of that.
Oh, which I'm all for.
Like, the idea of just resetting and being like... It almost feels like an Escape the Room game.
It was,
All of the equipment you have there is on the island.
And what they do is they basically strip Link down to his underwear with zero weapons or anything. And then you have to build up and then find three orbs.
So how did you survive Eventide Island?
It was a pretty savage island because I used my...
There's a bunch of little children on there trying to like...
It kind of reminded me of Lord of the Flies just because it was tropical. But I used my... So my new jam in battle is to stasis enemies a lot.
Oh, you can stasis enemies?
Oh, yeah. You can
any enemy?
Yes. Depending on how big they are dictates how long they will stay stasised.
Oh, man. How have I not known this?
Yeah. It's it's a game changer. You should test it out because you can stasis enemies, hit the shit out of them, move on to another enemy, and that enemy will be getting hit after a couple seconds because you've stasised them. So I basically stasised a couple enemies and dropped some iron things on top of their heads to like grab their weapons.
Yeah.
And then started exploring the island.
So smart.
Yeah. However, as I was doing it, the blood moon rose.
Oh,
and I was
no
like,
way.
Fuck no.
Did they respawn on the island?
Yes. I had cleared out a huge portion of the island and then I hear the ding, ding,
ding, ding, oh my God.
And I was like, what the fuck is it? And then I looked off into the fucking...
Yeah,
distant sky and see the blood moon rise. I'm like, fuck no.
Oh my God. That's like a countdown clock.
And then to make matters worse, lightning storm.
Oh yeah. The lightning storm will mess you up.
Like lightning storm, like four lightnings in a row, like on the little weather vane or whatever. Yeah. It just was a lightning storm for a good 15, 20 minutes in game. And so it had just regenerated for the fucking blood moon, and a lightning storm.
Oh my god!
It was pretty savage, but it was fun. No, I completed it, but it was there was a lot of cowering, a lot of running away, a lot of like, oh man.
How did you kill the huge ogre guy?
I saved him for last, and scrounged for a bunch of food, and I captured a few hardy lizards as well. And by the end of it, I had gotten a fair number of weapons. I had also gotten the item that you get after you beat the Divine Beast, which was very helpful.
Oh, right. Yeah.
I might have had one charge left. Oh, the lightning left. Charge. Yeah, that helped clear out a couple bandit camps. But then after that, I had gotten enough food that I was able to make some, you know, increased strength potions.
Yeah.
And just kind of spun.
Yeah.
Also, his shins are guarded by a shield.
Yep.
So I just kept on, like,
attack his ankles?
Yeah, like running up and down and, like, you know, making him do, luring him into the butt stomp and then just going to town on him when he, you know, missed me.
Smart.
Yeah. It was a fun island, though. That was a cool thing.
Yeah, I really like that idea a lot. And I think the DLC is going to be pretty cool when that actually hits.
Also, when I finally got all the orbs there, I needed to make my way up to the actual temple. And at that point, it decided to start raining. And I was like, motherfucker. I
can't climb. Because
there's
now
no way to climb. And so I tried to launch myself up on a piece of steel that I had found and ended up just pancaking myself into the wall.
Oh my God. That happened to me once and I almost drowned. Like, because I knocked myself off the top of that like ledge up there. Ugh. Yeah. That was ugly.
I thought that was a really fun thing.
Did you find the maze in the desert?
I did. I found the maze in the desert and another maze in the northern reaches.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. But you haven't found the island maze yet.
No, I have not found the island maze yet. Cool. But So I did two of those mazes, which I thought were pretty fun because you can try to be sneaky and get on the top of them and like look down. But then when you're in the maze, it's very claustrophobic. Like it feels very hemmed in.
I think at one point I was in that desert maze and I was running out of weapons.
Yeah.
And so every time I saw a group of even just like the shitty bats, I was like, oh God, run.
Yeah. I thought that stuff was cool. So talk about the desert, I guess.
Desert area. Yeah.
I think the desert had some of my most and least favorite aspects of this entire game. Okay. So far.
I'm curious to hear what your least favorite aspects are.
Did you play the area where you went into the, what's the evil clan?
Oh, the like ninja clan.
Yes.
Yeah, the foot, I believe they're called.
Yeah, exactly. That was a terrible sequence.
Yeah. I really did not like that. Because it's this weird, like...
Insta-fail.
It's like instant-fail stealth game. And it even has this sort of side quest where you could like unlock that lady who's been captured.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there's probably some weird optimal path by using the bananas that you are meant to follow.
Yeah. I tried to do that until someone found me, and then I murdered everybody.
Yeah.
I just killed everyone in that room.
Link, I told you to go get that item, not to slaughter this entire culture.
Yeah, it was... And then you fight the boss thing at the end.
The boss was fine.
The boss was fine. It's just that sequence of... It's so weird that there are certain... Like, that pocket felt like the people who made Skyward Sword made that part.
Yeah, it's a good point, because that to me felt like a dungeon in a way that is more claustrophobic than this game has ever been, because it's all about being in the open world.
Yeah.
And even when you're in the Divine Beast or in the shrines, right, there aren't these like immediate failure buttons, right? Like it's still a lot about exploration and experimentation in a way that section is super rigid. Like you just can't really get past it.
It's kind of, I question how that even, like how that decision was made. Yeah. When you look at that, it's such a philosophical departure from the rest of the game. And it's flat out bad. I mean, the layout is not inspired. It's not like a Dishonored caliber, you know, stealth playground that you're on. I mean there's like three ways through it.
Yeah, there's like three rooms and it's just gray sand walls.
So I just don't know how that happened. However, some stuff that you just happen across in the desert has been my favorite.
Yeah.
When you did you find the I forget what they're called, like the goddess statues?
Yeah, that are all pointing in one direction. Amazing. Yeah, super cool.
Oh, I mean the huge ones.
No.
Oh man.
What do you mean the huge ones?
There's like 50 foot tall goddess statues.
Oh yes, yeah. The ring of goddess statues. That puzzle was great.
And also it's just amazing to come over the crest and you're like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah.
Like where did this come from? It's just the sense of wow, there were ancient civilizations before this one.
And they were huge.
Is constant in this game.
Yeah, yeah totally.
And so it was amazing. It's just amazing to see what you find.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that part is really rad. It actually kind of reminded me of like World of Warcraft, essentially. Mm-hmm. Because you'd be in an open world and there'd be these statues that implied it wasn't just like, oh, people have lived here or ancient gods lived here. But there was once a civilization.
There was a great society
here. Yeah. Which is cool. And the whole desert has some of those little remnants.
Yeah.
The statues... Also,
oh, here's a fucking whale that's in the desert. Or the leviathans
The basic graboids. They're basically tremors enemies. I fought those guys before I knew like you had to. There was a quest to go get their guts or whatever. Mm. I loved fighting those things because it did feel like graboids where I'm like sneaking up to the next like rock and then cheesing it and throwing the bomb and
distracting it with a bomb over there.
Exactly. Like, or like there are certain enemies around the area as well. So like luring that thing to go kill the enemies was super fun and cool to watch. So I killed three of them. If there are any more, I want to go kill them because each of those felt like cool little boss
fights. They respawn because I came back to an area and I think they respawned with the Blood Moon.
I also... That was cool. Really enjoyed the sort of the world puzzle of the statues holding their swords to direct you to the shrine. I thought was kind of neat.
Well, and that
and
whole...
you could take their swords too.
Yeah, I was I was scared to take their swords because at first I at that point I was pretty low on supplies, so I was like, well, if I take the sword, I just have to like look really carefully at the hand because if I misremember where they're pointing, I'm just going to wander off in the wrong direction then I'm screwed.
And then sometimes there are sandstorms, so it'll be very difficult to see.
It also kills your radar during the sandstorm, which I didn't notice that was interesting. But yeah, I mean, in the sandstorms, there's a sense of desperation where I don't have my map.
Yep.
I don't have maybe enough supplies. My sand seal is long gone.
Yeah.
Fuck if I know where that thing went.
And you could potentially bump into a pack of wolves.
Yep. Yep. Oh, you can like walk right next to one of those goddamn lizards.
Oh, that... God, those fucking stealth lizards?
Yeah.
I hated those guys.
And you never know it because you're right there.
How cool is seal surfing, by the way? I love that shit, dude. That was so good. I also love that you have to be extra stealthy to get up close to them.
You have to be very stealthy. Like, it's the... You know,
just a gentle push.
Tiny little push.
I would just parachute down and land right next to them, basically, and just drop down. Got him!
I'll be damned if I'm going to pay for a seal. I'm going to go out there and rope my own. There, and even like finding the oases in the desert, I thought was pretty fun. There was a sense, again, kind of like the mountains, there was a sense of desperation in that environment where I am in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
It was also probably the most, it was the point where the most Japanese shit started happening, i.e. Link cross-dressing and getting into wacky situations where people think he's a girl.
I think at one point you are getting the clothes from another cross-dressing man and you can like suggest that they're attractive.
Yeah.
And then when they reveal their beard, it's like, it's very Japanese.
God damn it. How did my fucking persona leak into my Legend of Zelda?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, Link is a good looking girl. Let's be honest. You know, he's got that sort of blue.
I actually read a couple articles of people being critical about it. One, for being kind of like transphobic, but two, for being.
That's probably true.
Link has always been androgynous enough to essentially be genderless for people.
Yeah.
But they're basing an entire plot point around
his
maleness.
Oh, that's
interesting. That was disappointing for people.
Yeah, I could see that.
It's also super annoying that anytime you have to go into that town, you have to put your veil back on.
That's true. Absolutely. Well, yeah, exactly.
The Gerudo.
So, biology lesson again.
Okay.
What the fuck are the Gerudo? Why are there only
Well, ladies? Let me tell you.
Are they essentially the Asari of the Hyrulean universe?
So they might be. I don't know enough about the Asari, but back in Ocarina of Time, they introduced the Gerudo.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what the years are, but it's very rare for male Gerudo to be born.
So there are male Gerudos.
There are, because in Ocarina of Time, Ganondorf came from
Gerudo Ganon Valley. Is a Gerudo?
Yeah.
Ganon is a male Gerudo.
Well, Ganondorf came from the Gerudo Desert in Ocarina of Time.
Okay.
I think Ocarina of Time is looked at as like one of the earlier Legend of Zeldas, and then he was pursuing the Triforce of Courage, which then corrupted him into being Ganon.
Scott, you're so smart.
Yeah. Anyway, so some incarnation of Ganon was a man born to the Gerudo.
That explains his stature.
Yes, he's huge. Yeah, and he's the red hair. And
yeah. Okay, interesting. So this is almost like one of those legendary things, you know? Right? Like,
what do you mean?
I mean, surely the Gerudo's had a legend of like one day.
Oh, yeah, exactly. He's going to bring balance to the Gerudo and instead clearly, Order 66 himself.
You are the chosen one.
Yeah. And it looks like they're... I don't know if they said anything about the male births in this game, but it's essentially 100%
female
society.
So there was a legend. There's a couple of side quests that talk of a legend of like, oh, all Gerudos will find their like one true love. Yeah.
I actually saw a Gerudo woman in the Lover's Pond in a whole another part of Hyrule.
Oh, really? Yeah. So I think that was the same location because you can get her to meet her guy and like bond or whatever.
Yeah.
My question is...
Social links.
The guy that she meets is not a Gerudo male.
No.
So when they have a baby, is it always a female Gerudo that is born? Because all the Gerudos look specifically different, right? Yeah. I don't get the sense from the fish people that those people procreate with people not of their species.
Yeah,
probably same with not. The like rock dudes, because I don't think that's the physically. Gorons. I don't think anybody has a womb capable of carrying a Goron.
I mean, not with that attitude.
But the Gerudo, the Gerudo implies that they breed with humans or Hyruleans or Hylians.
Yeah,
Hylians.
Hylians, yeah.
But their children are Gerudo. Regardless,
maybe I
this
don't
is
know.
What this is why I think they were kind of like the Asari, because in Mass Effect, it doesn't matter what species an Asari mates with,
they're always
they
Asari.
Always birth a female Asari.
That could be the case. I mean, yeah, I don't know. I don't think they ever commented on where Ganondorf came from.
Okay,
so who knows? But yeah, so that was a callback to other Zelda shit in the same way that the Zoro stuff was.
And did the Gerudos always live in the desert?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Ever since Ocarina of Time, anyway.
Okay. Another question. Why is everybody so totally okay with being led by children?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, what is the deal? Like,
I mean, if you Zelda look, Link, like, historically, there have been plenty
The merpeople have their head straight.
Actually, also the...
They're fishing.
The Ritu...
Do also, they have a child leader?
No, they have an older...
Oh, okay.
An older patriarch. I mean, if you look at historically, there's been plenty of monarchs that are
fair enough
kings. But,
fair enough.
I mean, who knows if there's a shadow government behind all of these children?
Yeah.
I mean, like, or you know, the Dalai Lama is blessed at age five or
that's
whenever.
That's a very good
point.
I
mean, who knows? Maybe this is just a theocracy. That
I mean, the Gerudo feels like a sort of stateless nation in a way because they have this one town, but like, where is the rest of the Gerudo population? Right, compared to the fish
they're
people.
They're wandering the fucking desert.
Yeah, they're all wandering the desert looking for their one true love.
Oh, man.
They, like, roam the world, and then they just come back to this town. Which, by the way, has clearly an unfair access to potable drinking water in the desert.
I mean, they basically have a... They've cornered the whatever.
And then to not let anybody in. I mean, I get, like, you want to protect your peoples. That's totally fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they do some trading. You can tell that in the...
that's true, outside.
Yeah, in the oasis town that's kind of close to there.
But nobody sold bottled water.
No, they didn't. They only sold milk, I think. There's a bar in there. I didn't do the bar side quest. Did you figure out how to do that?
I did not know there was a bar.
There's a bar in there, and then there's also a secret speakeasy that asks you for a password.
Oh, that's another side quest I'm down to do.
And I haven't found out how to learn the password. Like, I don't know where.
Interesting. It is. Yeah. I did... So after the Divine Beast moment, you can go and talk to the matriarch lady and ask to borrow her helmet.
Oh, yeah.
And then she basically asks you, I think, to do all of the side quests of the people in the town.
It's not as many as you think, because I didn't realize I had done enough because I hadn't found the bar or anything, but I went back to ask her anyway. And
she's like, yeah, you can take it.
Yeah, she said, oh, it looks like you helped everyone, and she gave it to me.
Sweet.
And it was super useful because there's a place in the world that one of the shrine puzzles, it's constantly lightning. Like, it never lets up. And so I just was wearing that hat and letting lightning strike me, and nothing was happening.
So you just cannot be electrocuted while wearing that helmet?
No.
Okay, I'm going to definitely do that.
You can, however, get hurt by the fire that the lightning
okay,
creates.
So don't stand still.
Yeah.
Good to
But
know.
As long as you're just walking around, like, I'm walking around with my metal swords on
so
and everything.
So why the hell does this lady not give you the helmet when it's time to go into the Divine Beast and fight the guy that has electrical attacks.
Because it's a fucking family heirloom. She has to wear it.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so I guess we talk about the Divine Beast?
Let's talk about the Divine Beast. Did you like the way that you entered the Divine Beast better than the fish one?
Yeah, this was way better.
Okay, good. Yeah, yeah. I thought it was actually really, really fun. It reminded me most of Shadow of the Colossus.
Again. It did. And it was kind of a Star Wars type moment where you're going between its legs as going.
Oh, yeah, like AT-ATs.
Yeah, it was very, it was way more inventive than the other one.
There were a couple moments, too, when I knew one of the feet were getting low.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, fuck it, and just rushed my seal, like, yeah, so I can get in close and fire a bomb arrow.
Yeah, it was fun. It was cool, and there was also multiple layers where you're worried about the lightning, you're worried about smacking into the feet, you're worried about getting crushed by the feet.
Yep.
I don't know. There's multiple mechanics to think about. So I thought that one was way better, which the first one was just like kind of a shitty turret sequence.
Yeah.
But yeah, then getting into it, I also like the camel better than the elephant.
Oh, okay.
In terms of the dungeon itself, I thought it was more inventive.
Yeah.
I think
it was probably on par for me, I guess.
Yeah.
I think rotating each of those four was kind of neat.
Yeah.
There was definitely a moment where I was like, oh, I think I'm stuck. Mm. And then I sort of figured out. I also like, so at one point in that sequence, you have to carry these balls, electricity balls, and put them in slots. Mm. And I missed the slot and instead carried the ball all the way to the like bottom, to the other side, being like, maybe I need to go over here. And then I had to backtrack. That's, so basically it was like an extra 15 minutes of like waiting for the elevator, waiting for the thing to rotate.
Yeah, that's tough. I wonder if you can drop them out of the Divine Beast by accident.
I dropped a treasure chest.
Oh, yeah.
The one that's dangling from the thing.
I had a whole plan as to how I was going to get
so
that.
So did I, my
did
man.
Did not fucking work.
I had it propped up on top of the like this little ledge, and I was like, okay, I think I can do this. But I think I must have fired a bomb arrow because it like blew up the rope and the thing dropped, and I tried to like quickly freeze, get my magnet out, and I just missed it.
God,
I went back to the desert, and that's literally where I'm at right now. It's just being like, where did I drop that?
And you know you're going to open it up, and it's like, five arrows.
Exactly.
Like, God damn it.
Yeah. Well, I could use five arrows.
I tried to do a thing where I froze it and then shot a couple arrows to start it swinging.
Oh, that's very clever.
And instead, when I hit the arrow, it just flew off in the other direction. I was like, bye! I'll remember you, treasure.
Oh, so you hit the arrow while it had forward momentum?
I fucked up somehow. I was gonna do a thing where it would start flinging, and then I was gonna shoot the rope when it was pendulously flinging towards me, so it would get onto the platform.
Yeah,
did not work.
That's pretty funny.
Did not fucking work at all.
I like that you can fail like that, though.
Yeah, it was funny because I don't know the actual real way to do it. I mean, maybe I don't know. Maybe I just should have been more accurate with my fucking arrows.
Yeah, probably. If you freeze time and destroy the rope, will it hover there in midair?
I think it will. So I don't know for sure, though. Yeah.
But the elephant is moving as well, so you'd also just be moving away from a frozen.
That's true. It's like, but no.
No.
Yeah, there was a lot of those types of moments. Once I realized that the inside of the camel had a circuit that you can see line up, it was a lot easier to remember which way I should be rotating.
Yeah.
There's also certain times where like you don't actually need to rotate. You don't need to finish the rotation. You can make your way across and kind of scramble across, which I liked. And then what else? Oh, this boss was pretty tough.
This boss was very hard,
especially if you were like me and had been lazy about learning how to parry.
Yes.
And then I realized, oh shit, this thing is expecting me to know how to parry.
Yep.
And I'm gonna have to learn this right now.
I did not. I mean, I just didn't. It was my solution.
It was a lot easier if you learned how to parry.
I figured as much. Yeah. I did die quite a bit.
Yeah.
Once you get into the rhythm of things, you can get through that first part pretty quick, right? Like dodge the lightning arrows. If you just bring your shield up in time, he doesn't have a lightning attack yet on that first part. So you can still just block it and then go in with your attack.
I still went through a bunch of shields.
I went through a lot of swords as well.
Yeah, it was
because I just didn't have a lot of weapons on me.
And then you have to use him as a lightning rod, right?
Yeah, so he drops a bunch of lightning rods and you have to use the magnet to pick them up and like take them next to him.
Yeah.
which I thought was kind of cool. I kind of wish that were you could throw them somehow. Like, I really wanted to harpoon the guy.
Yeah. Just,
like, I thought that's what I was supposed to do. And so I, like, went it above his head to drop it. And that's when the lightning struck out. And I was like, okay, this makes sense. The problem that I had a really hard time with was that third phase when his attacks have lightning charges and his shield has lightning.
Yeah.
Because the way that I ended up killing him was just by strafing him after he did the dash. But every time he hits you, it does an absurd amount of damage.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I must have gone through so much food to end up actually defeating him.
Especially if you haven't found all of the lightning-resistant gear. Have you found that? It kind of looks like a frog.
Nope.
Oh, man. I've basically found a gimp suit for Link where it's it's all rubber. It's rubber leggings, rubber tunic, and a rubber helmet.
That's awkward.
And it's... The helmet is this weird fish thing where he has like a huge fish.
Does it let you breathe underwater or something?
No, it's just...
Okay, that would be cool.
I guess it's a frog since it's, you know, like...
Makes sense.
Rubbery or whatever.
Like the Mario frog outfit.
It kind of looks like that, except like black leather.
okay, sexy.
Yeah.
That's sexy. Can you dye it? You must be able to dye it green.
So you could do pink frog or something. Yep,
cool.
But with that, at least it takes some of the sting out of the electricity. Mm. But still... I went through a bunch of stuff. Like, I had a bunch of hearty food was, you know, giving me, you know, plus fours or whatever.
When I finally defeated him, there was scattered on the ground a bunch of, like, items and, like, shields and weapons that had dropped because he attacked me with lightning.
Yeah, and so you're just, like, switching.
Yeah, I'm just switching them out.
Yeah.
Out of curiosity, if I had used a wooden shield, would it not have procced the electricity attack on a block?
It maybe, because I definitely... I don't know if I had that problem because I was just using the parry away from him.
Oh, okay.
I guess, well, I was approaching him differently because I think maybe it was either the second phase or third phase where he essentially kind of does a weird Dark Souls warp towards you.
Yeah, I mean, he does that right off the bat, but it gets more feverish towards that last phase.
And so at that point, I was just timing and parrying, so I don't have as much. But I mean, I guess if you have a wooden shield or if you have one of the cloth shields, maybe it is better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I didn't.
Yeah. It was a tough... It was a surprisingly... In a game that has continued to surprise me with how eager it is to just throw you a challenge every once in a while.
Yeah.
It was weird. I was thinking to myself, all right, fine. You know, the Lionels or the Ogres.
Yeah.
Totally optional things. You don't have to do it. But this is kind of a ballsy move to put a boss that is a main quest boss that's actually super hard.
And you might have to leave, right? Like, if I had gone in there with no food, I just would not have been able to do this challenge. I would have had to leave and go... try again and stock up on food.
And I guess the weirdest thing is that now that I say this out loud, you actually don't have to beat it because you could just go to Ganon with only three or none of the divine beasts.
That's true. Yeah, completely.
Yeah.
It definitely also like reminds me that there are those moments.
Yeah.
So now I know like when I go into the next divine beast, I really am going to like get
seriously
myself ready.
Yeah.
Because this one was way more difficult than the water divine beast.
Yeah, that one was really easy to fight. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, after that, I just did a bunch more exploring. I wandered around. Did you find... So, there's other things to do with the statues. Mm-hmm. There's other stuff to do in the Gerudo Highlands.
Yeah.
I think that's probably when I got the house and did a bunch
Settled down. Had a baby.
I was like...
a Gerudo woman.
It's like,
she left and took your kid.
Where are they? Link, they were never here. No! What else did I do?
Did you ever
some of the hidden temples. I thought those were pretty fun to find.
Legend of the Hidden Temple? Link
has to put together a fucking monkey skull.
Yeah, where there's like a riddles and stuff.
Yeah.
I found a couple where I just couldn't figure it out. Like the one that asks you to shoot an arrow through two stones. Did you find that one? There's just a bunch of like stone rings around this area on like different heights.
Huh.
And the riddle is that you have to fire an arrow through two of them, but they're all facing different directions.
Ah, so you need to find the right angle to get the arrow through.
And then there was also the one
maybe you have to drop on from the top and go down.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Yeah. I don't know. And then there was also the one next to the fishing village, which I also didn't do because I just couldn't quite figure it out.
Was this the one?
There's like a puzzle involved. You have to find like three different things.
Oh, okay.
I have done a couple of the hidden ones, but for the most part, those are shrines that to me are like, oh, this is what I should do when I'm at the basically beaten the game. Like this is what I should go back and redo because there's still so much expansive places to explore that it's hard to convince me to sit down for 5 minutes and try to riddle something out.
Yeah.
Especially when riddling something out means firing and wasting my fucking precious arrows.
How many rings of stamina do you have?
I have 3 additional stamina things, so slightly more than half, I think.
Okay. You should invest.
Should I?
Well, I mean, I guess maybe I...
I have maybe like 9-10 hearts.
Okay. I must have just... Because I did wander around for a long while, and so I must have found more shrines at this point, because I have the main circle, another circle...
What?
And then 3/4 of another circle.
You have just reaped a bounty.
Yeah. And also about, you know, like 10 or 11 hearts or something like that. So, like, that's roughly the same.
Okay.
I also have 100 fucking Korok seeds and nothing to spend them on.
Yeah.
I have no clue where that guy is.
Yeah, me neither.
Also, I hear legend that the Master Sword is somewhere out there.
So, my understanding... Yeah, so I also know that the Master Sword is out there. Yeah. I know that it's probably in a forest. Those are the two things I know.
I know because Link to the Past, it was in the Lost Woods or whatever it was called.
So, you got that
insider
knowledge.
Yes, I got that. I got that
But then
knowledge.
I also know that you need a certain number of hearts
to get it.
But I think the hearts is like 8 to 10 or something
That's pretty easy to do.
Where do you think the Master Sword is?
I mean, I've done a lot of... I've done most of the map except for... I think it's probably slightly north of Hyrule Castle.
Do you think that it's something that, like, it only comes out at night?
I mean...
Do you think this is, like, a mystery? Like, maybe we've already been there and we just didn't see it?
I don't think so, because if what they are trying to do is evoke the older games with this thing... It will be very apparent where it is.
Because this is like King Arthur shit, right?
Yeah,
it's just like stuck inside of
an
enormous
sword. Exactly. I mean, this is the sword that let Link travel back and forth in time. This is the... Aside from the Triforce, this is the central relic of Legend of Zelda.
If you find the Master Sword, will it just be destroyed? Or
that's what I'm interested in. I mean, they can't. They can't
destroy the Master Sword.
But I imagine that there is probably some... In previous games, if you had full hearts, the Master Sword would shoot magic.
Oh.
And so I imagine there's something around, maybe if you have full hearts, it'll do something. Or maybe it will half break and then you'll have to reforge it somewhere to, you know, get the,
power.
I imagine they'll probably do something like that, but that's just kind of...
I hope you can level it up and boost it up and stuff.
Yeah. I hope you can accidentally throw it into the ocean and lose it forever.
Well, so the one thing I do also know is that if you do throw it away, it returns to its forest.
Oh, interesting.
You get a notice that's like, the Master Sword has gone home.
That makes sense. Because I've definitely accidentally thrown away weapons.
Yeah.
And
well, now that you have a home, you have like a mantle to put the Master Sword on.
And now that I have a door, I can lock that shit.
Exactly.
Those fucking thieves that are out there on the roads.
Or better yet, charge people admission to come check it out.
come on.
Get a good resource for rupees.
Take a selfie in front of the Master Sword.
Try on Link's new colorful outfits.
Sleep in Link's bed.
Oh my god, that would be amazing if you returned home and some other random NPC was just like, get out, children, get out quickly.
Squatting in
Master
Link's
returns.
House. Yeah. I got this on Airbnb. Yeah. Okay. So I think we're 2 out of 4 divine beasts. What we might do is next episode, we might do a twofer.
Yes. I think we should blast through the next 2 divine beasts.
Yeah.
Because at this point, I think we have a good deal of the map explored.
Yeah.
So 2 more divine beasts.
Yep.
We'll do 1 more debrief, and then after that, we'll do Ganon and do just like a general thoughts kind of thing.
Yeah, because there's definitely more stuff. I haven't been to Death Mountain yet. I haven't done any of that crap.
Death Mountain, that's right. Or Candy Mountain,
or
slightly to the northwest.
Link is just eating everything.
That would be so good. God, I kind of really hope there's cool story DLC. You know, just
I mean,
a whole
actually we
continent.
Didn't even talk about that. Have you looked at what because the first DLC is live? I think
I thought it was just like clothes and stuff.
There is a fucking Tingle outfit that you can buy. There's also mechanically there is a fast travel that you can place.
Oh, interesting.
So you can,
like a shrine.
Yeah, you can place a rune on the map and just one at a time, but you can have that as a fast travel point.
I wonder why you would want to do that, though.
I mean, there are some areas of the map where I know there are shrines there, but I haven't found them.
Oh,
and so it's kind of a pain if I want to go back and then make my
way
out.
I would just put it at the top of a mountain.
And then just fly down.
And I mean, I love riding my fucking glider.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And I think... I forget what else. There might be some... I think there's some sort of challenge dungeon thing or something. But yeah, I haven't bought it yet. I figure I was just going to buy it when either I was too bored or ready to play the story DLC that's going to happen in the fall.
I haven't actually bought the game yet. I still have it on Game
Freak. Oh my God.
I know. And here's the thing, though. I'm probably going to get a Switch this year.
But you're not going to spend another 100 hours building up...
Will I do? Won't I? I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
challenge accepted.
My thinking is like, look, if I'm gonna get a Switch, uh-huh, I'm gonna get Breath of the Wild on it eventually, right? I can take it on the go. I can just like plow through some dungeons and shit.
I guess that's fair, but I mean,
and plus, if the DLC comes out, do I want to just play the DLC on the Switch?
Yeah, I mean, like, I would say if you're gonna rebuy the game, you should probably buy the future-proofed version of the game. But
or I could just buy this one, and then in like 4 years, when I see it on sale somewhere, buy the Switch version.
But then the DLC will be locked to the Wii U version.
That's like a very good point.
Yeah. But I mean, yeah, this could very well be a marathon session of Gamefly. She's like, ha, I mean, sucker.
That's the problem is I will have already spent the amount of having bought the game.
Oh, you probably already have. You think? We've been playing this game for a month and a half or 2 months.
Well, it's like $7 a month. $15.
Oh, that's right. We split it. So you're right. So that's true. So you can, okay. So you still probably have a couple months, but you're like quickly.
I am fast. Yeah. I'll probably buy it.
All right. We will leave it there for now. We will return to you after we visit the next two divine beasts. Mm-hmm. ExperiencePoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And ExperiencePoints.net is where you can relive your Experience Points memories with 400 plus podcasts to listen to.
Yeah, and we'll also have as annoying voice work as Zelda herself in this fucking game.
Why do people hate the Zelda voice? Isn't that so bad?
It's annoying.
It's like a little kid.
No, it's like...
Link!
It's faux... high fantasy.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me
of? Delivered in a super flat, annoying way.
It reminds me of the princess from the Neverending Story.
Maybe that's why.
Sebastian, you know? It's kind of like that.
Yeah.
Give us your reviews, iTunes and Stitcher, and wherever you happen to find podcasts.
Cool. All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening. We will talk to you next week.
Bye.